All right, we're continuing to look at the cross today. As you notice, I still have one behind me. And we've been talking about that. The Lord laid that on my heart. Talk about the cross of Christ a little bit. And we're looking at the title of the series is, Which Side of Calvary? Which side of Calvary are we living on? You know, there's two sides. You know, you have this side of Calvary and that side of Calvary. Right? Everybody knows what Calvary is, right? Calvary is the cross. Calvary is a place where Jesus Christ went and he died for our sins. And when he died there, that was a major change in history as well as the future. It changed things past a little bit, but mostly it changed things going forward. And we all have a past. Everybody have a past? You know? And the key is to get past our past and to get on with the present and then also the future. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We can't just be living, you know, back in the bad old days. That's what I call them. Some call them the good old days, but compared to Christ, they're the bad old days. You know, that's how I see them. Now, the cross of Christ, number one, is first a bondage breaker. And then after that, it becomes a bondage blocker. It sets us free, and then it also is a guardrail or a boundary to help us not to go back into those old things. And, you know, we don't want to be like Lot's wife. Everybody probably remembers her, right? They were delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angel said, don't look back. And she couldn't help herself. She looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And for whatever reason, sometimes we... or some people always look back. They just like the children of Israel when they were in the desert. You know, God was doing something new in their life. He was taking care of them, feeding them manna. Shoes never wore out. Clothes never wore out. But for whatever reason, every now and then, they had a taste for the food and the things that were back in Egypt. And Egypt to us is a sign of the old life. And the promised land, the Canaan land, which was later going to be called the land of milk and honey, that's the promised land. That's where God wants you and I to go. That's what God wants us to start to walk in. So we don't want to be like Lot's wife and look back what we once had. And if what we had before was so good, then we would have never left it in the first place. Correct? If that old life was so good, why did we leave it? But we know there was nothing there. And we wanted something more. And see, God, he wants us to look forward to what he has in store for us. And we are never the same and no more shame. I believe somebody needs to write that down. We are never the same and no more shame. God wants us to be free. He wants us to be able to walk in that newness of life and quit letting the enemy speak into our ear, just telling us that we're not adequate or we're not good enough. Amen? God wants us to be free from that. I'm going to do a little recap from last week, just briefly. You know, our scripture that we started with was 1 Corinthians. I guess that's the only one we got through last week. But 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, and it says, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, the word of the cross and how powerful it is. It has a message. The cross has a message. And we looked at the idea that, you know, anybody can wear a cross around their neck, but only a true believer can bear the marks of the cross in their life. See, our culture has gotten to the place where a cross has become a fashion statement. But it's not. It's a deliverance statement. It's a power statement that was delivered by God to show us that there's a separation from the old and the new. And as Christians, we don't worship the cross, but we worship the one who hung on the cross instead. So we looked at a couple points, mainly that, you know, the cross has a message. It's a message of deliverance. And that's our starting spot as a Christian. That's where we start. We start being delivered. You know, it's a process of getting there. It took me a while. For me, I attended church, you know, about a year or so before I surrendered my life to Christ, and was willing to accept that deliverance in my life. It took me a while. I'm slow, but when I got it, I got it. So I hope you got it. And then the cross is also a point of separation in our life. It separates us. It keeps us from, it keeps the old and new, you know, apart from each other. And we all need to kind of remember, you may not remember the day or the hour, but you know, we need to have a BCAC moment, you know, before Christ and after Christ. You know, I remember my old life a little bit. You know, it's not me anymore, but I also remember that AC moment when I accepted Christ. And the life that I have now is so much better. And in doing that, we look past the pain and we focus on the promise. So that's a little bit of the things that we looked at last week. Those things are loaded up to the church website, that message, if you missed it and you want to follow back on that or maybe listen to it again. Today, we're going to go off in a little bit newer direction, but kind of along the same lines. The scripture we're going to start with today is Galatians chapter 6, and it's found in verse 14. Galatians 6, verse 14. It says, "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the unction, Lord, of the Holy Spirit, just to be here today. Thank you, Lord, we're never alone, and Lord, we're never the same. Thank you for the Comforter that has come to live inside each and every one of us, that's called the Spirit of Truth, that leads us and guides us into all truth. Lord, we pray for truth to be here today because we know that it's the truth, knowledge of the truth and knowing the truth and experiencing the truth that sets us free. Lord, right now I just ask for a special stirring of the gifts you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, basically from this little passage here, we're going to unpack that a little bit and kind of see what it's speaking to us. You know, number one, you notice we need to see that, you know, you and I, you know, we need to live the crucified life. Now, it doesn't sound that fun, does it? You know, in some ways. But the crucified life is a life of power. It's a life where we never again have to bow our knee to the things of this world that has held us back in life. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, there used to be some disappointment in my life. There used to be shame in my life. There used to be, you know, things that, you know, I just never felt good about. I was guilty, you know, because I was guilty, you know. But the crucified life is when we start to put to death, and that's what we're going to probably look at a little more next week, you know, how to extinguish those carnal passions, those hankerings. You know what I mean? Those hankerings that you and I have for things that we know are not good for us, that bring kind of a wedge between us and God. I mean, we're not talking about losing our salvation, but I'm talking about the idea of just kind of breaking that communion that we have with Him, because sin separates us from God. And if we choose to live a life of sin, right? I mean, I ain't gonna lie, sin was fun, some of it. But sin, I was always looking over my shoulder. You know, wonder if I was going to get caught. I did get caught a couple times. But when you live the crucified life, you're not looking over your shoulder anymore. You're looking directly to God. And there is no problems there. Amen? You can have that victory. See, what I found out is by this passage here and in other things, Romans 6 was a big help too. But, you know, the world is crucified to me because of what Christ has done. And I am crucified to the world because of what I choose to do daily. What I choose to do daily. It's my daily decisions that determine, you know, what I'm going to do. So we're going to look at the idea of this side of Calvary and that side of Calvary. And we're going to see kind of what those things, how they work together and hopefully work apart from each other. And we'll look at first the old ways. The old ways that we used to live. You know, when we walked in the old life, has you ever heard that old saying, turn the other cheek? That's a tough one, ain't it? You know, back in the old days, it was an eye for an eye, wasn't it? You do it to me, I'm going to do it to you. And instead of an eye for an eye, sometimes it's an eye, an arm, a leg for an eye, because we paid him back with interest, didn't we? But see, that's the old life. That's the old way of doing things. It's the old way of looking at things. And we need to get past that, because what happens is that, you know, the pleasures of sin, what it's going to do, it's going to lead us to death. Now, I'm not talking about you're going to keel over, die right here today, but it's talking about spiritual death, and we kind of looked at that sort of thing, you know. It'd have been easier if we sinned and somebody just died, then you kind of get the picture. But what it is talking about spiritual death, which is separation from God. And, you know, and how that works is the fact it's a spiritual thing. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they died spiritually. And we're born dead spiritually. And that's why we need to be born again. But even though we're born again, we get that new life, there's still a process that we're going through. And so what we need to see is a new life principle. There's old life principles and new life principles. See, new life principle, when considering going back to the old life, like I said before, if the old life was so good, you know, why did we leave it in the first place? I don't know about you, but when I was looking for Christ, I mean, I was lost, he wasn't, right? But when I was looking for Christ, because I was living my life, and in my life, there was something missing. I could tell it. I mean, I knew it was there. I mean, or not there. Yeah, it was not there. Something was missing in my life. And I couldn't put my finger on it totally, because, I mean, you don't know what you don't know, right? I'd never had experienced, you know, the full riches of Christianity before, but somehow I knew there was something there. So I started to pursue that a little bit. But see, it's that oldness of life, those things, you know, I knew that, you know, no matter what I did, I always wanted more. And when I did more, it still didn't get me where I needed to be. You know, it never got me there. It never got me to that place where I felt fulfilled and felt, you know, sufficient, I guess, in some things. So that's what started me on my journey to go and find Jesus and see what he had. See what he had for me. I had tried an Eastern religion a little bit. I did transcendental meditation for a short time. I didn't do it for the religious aspect. I kind of liked some of the side effects. They said that would work, and those were a lie. But anyway, that's another story. So then, you know, I decided, well, you know, I was raised in a Christian country, and so I went and bought a Bible. Never had a Bible on my own that I remember. So I went and bought a Bible, and I started to read the Bible, because I figured, you know, if God's real and the Bible's true, then maybe I better go find out. So that started me on my journey. I started to read the Bible. I started to go to a church. And in that process, I became born again. I became set free from the things in my life, you know, that were holding me back. And the thing was, for me, I've never really had a struggle in the sense of wanting to go back into the old life, because I had done many of those things, and those things could not fulfill me. So I've never had that. But I do know people that sometimes they just have a hankering. They have a desire to go back into those old things, and it doesn't work, because if there was so much there, then we would never have left that. But we know there's no life there. So the problem is that, you know, a lot of times we're not really experiencing a new life because perhaps we don't know how to walk in that new life. It's kind of like a new job. I mean, your first day at a new job, if you've never done that before, you don't know what to do, right? You're just learning. You're just learning the ropes. And so what you have to do is just hang in there, and you got to pay attention a little bit. You kind of look how other people are working. You start to learn the process. And there's a process in Christianity. And it may be different than grandma had. You know what I'm saying? I mean, well, I'm not talking about religion. This is not the church of don't. You know what I'm saying? This is the church of do. Because if you're the church of don't, you'll never overcome sin. Because if it's a church of don't, it's by your power. But we want the power of God. Once we find out everything that God has for us, living in victory becomes easier. Because the power of God starts to work in our life. And that old life starts to die off. It's kind of like, you know, if you have a branch and on a tree and you break that branch, well, it starts to wither and it starts to dry up, doesn't it? First, the leaves are still looking a little green, but through a little bit of time, that thing's just going to dry up and die. And that's what we want with the old life. That's what we want. We want that old life to die. Now, full disclaimer, as long as we're in one of these things, these bodies, we're going to struggle with our old life. But I can guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, that you can start to overcome much of the things of the old life that held you back, where they don't have to make you bow your knee again. Amen? And it comes by going through the process. It comes by staying connected with other people of like precious faith. People that are going to build you up and not put you down. That's what you need. And sometimes we're scared to do that because we're scared to, you know, maybe, you know, let some people in. But I'll tell you what, once we start to do that, we start to experience that new life, and it just gives us that power. See, the old life is a place where, you know, we used to boast about ourself and all our accomplishments, things that I've done. I did it my way. You know, when they wrote that song, that was my song. I did it my way because nobody could tell me what to do. I was raised to be independent, and I just did it, and I was pretty good at a lot of it. But I'll tell you what, my way was the wrong way. I found that out. That's humbling. That's humbling when you find out that you're heading the wrong direction. I don't know about you, but men don't like to be lost. You know what I'm saying? We don't ask for directions very much, but you know, when we do ask and we find out we're going the wrong direction, oh my gosh, that's devastating. You mean I was going the wrong direction all this time? Yeah, you was going the wrong direction all this time. You know, it's just a hard thing. So the old life is a place to bondage because whatever we do, it's never enough. I don't know about you, have you ever felt inadequate? You know, I have. I felt like I'm not enough. You know, a couple things that kind of affect us sometimes is, you know, first, I don't have enough money. And that's a life of lack. You know, maybe that's weighing on you all the time. It's your main focus. Man, I just don't have enough money. You know, I got more month than money. You know, here it is this day and I'm out of money already. Lack, 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 lack. You know? And that's just on our mind. I'm not denying we have lack sometimes, but I'm just trying to get us deny the fact that lack has power over our mind. I have found this out, and you probably have too. Worrying about things does not make it better. Makes it worse. Right? When we focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have, it makes it worse. So, number one, we don't have enough money. Number two, I'm not good enough. You know, that's inferiority. You know, when we look at some people around us and then we compare ourselves, and we shouldn't do that. We should look to other people for inspiration, not to put us down because we feel inadequate. But we deal with that inferiority. I'll be honest, there's always somebody better at something, right? There's always somebody better. We just have to deal with that. But can you be the best you can be? Can you do the best that you can do? You know, that's all God asks, is for us to do the best that we can do. And when we do that, we start to get better. Because there's a spiritual principle that when we do what we can do, then God will give us more. His grace comes into our life and helps us to overcome. And so we don't have to ever feel that I'm not good enough. You never have to go into a room again or go into a crowd of people and feel that you're not good enough. I hope you never come into this building and you feel that you're not good enough. because that's a lie. Because the blood of Jesus Christ and your faith in him makes you good enough. That's all it takes. Put your faith in Christ, and we're good enough. And we never have to, and we should never look down on anybody. And don't take this wrong, but we should never look up at anybody. We should look them in the eye, because we're all equal. Amen? That's through Jesus Christ. Third one, I'm not popular enough. You know, we had inferiority, now we got insecurity. You know, some people want to be popular. I mean, we live in a society that's crazed by popularity. How many likes do you get? You know, I liked their thing, but they didn't like my thing. You know what I mean? On Facebook or whatever. You know, so, you know, we feel that we're just not popular. So everybody wants to be popular. You want to be in the popular crowd. You know, I know especially kids deal with this a little bit, insecurity, until they find their footing. And, you know, there's some adults still deal with it. But, you know, it's not about the popular crowd. It's about being a kind person to everybody. You know, it's not about, you know, those sort of things. It's not about how many, you know, friends you have. We need friends, but I mean, being popular. You know, if you have to sell your soul to be popular, if you have to compromise yourself to be popular, then I don't know. That's not good, is it? So we don't want that. Then, you know, my relationships are not enough. You know, we can, you know, I'll be honest, there's somebody sitting in this room right now, several people here, but you feel lonely. You feel lonely. Because my relationships are not enough. And that's a life of lack. You know, why don't I have more relationships? Why don't I have more people? This is going to get better. I'm just talking about the negative stuff now, guys. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get this out there. So don't get all, this ain't going to be that. I know some of you out there saying, man, this is a bummer. But the old life is a bummer. So our relationships, we find out, is not enough. No matter how much, you know, we have or the kind of people we have in our life, they were not enough. The only relationship that makes it enough is Jesus Christ. And then basically, if you don't have enough money and you're not good enough, you're not popular enough, you don't have the right relationships, well, basically, we come to the conclusion, basically, I'm just not good enough. And that's a life of disappointment. So all these things, and I know not everybody struggles with all these things, but I think some of these we kind of flow in and out of every now and then, you know, because, you know, we're in a world that is so video and, you know, driven, where we see all these things and people just put all their good things on the internet. Now, granted, there are some people who put their negative things, and I kind of wish they wouldn't do that, you know. How many has a friend like that or knows some? No, I'm just kidding. You know, that puts the bad stuff on there. But I'm just saying, usually, everybody puts that on there. It's kind of, you get the fear of, you know, we're missing out on everything. So the old life is a place of lack, while the new life is a place of plenty, and that's what we're going to look at now, the new life. You know, that's this side of Calvary. So we looked at that side of Calvary, what was back there. So why would we want to go back there? Why would we want to give up what we have now in our relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, and go back to that old life? To fit into the ways of this world. Because the Bible says the ways of the world are passing. So, now let's look at this side of Calvary. Number one, praise God, the blessed life. The blessed life, and that's the favor. The favor of God is upon us. Everybody knows what favor is, right? Have you ever had favor? Favor is where we get preferential treatment. I hope you have had somebody in your life, maybe a parent or a grandma or a grandpa or uncle or aunt or somebody that you were their favorite. Does anybody have that? Yeah, I was a favorite. I know. Yeah, it shocked me too, guys. I mean, I know you guys are saying, you know, for whatever reason, I was the favorite. And, you know, I would get that preferential treatment. And that's kind of the treatment that we get from God in the blessed life. We get favor. You know, we just studied that in the Wednesday night, last Wednesday, talking about Esther. Esther had got favor with the king. We also know that Joseph got favor, even though he was in prison. Even though his own family sold him, you know, and put him in prison, he still got favor from God. So no matter what your circumstance is today, no matter what prison you might feel in today, that you're in today, God, you can still give you favor. The Bible says in Psalms 5:12, I believe, favor surrounds us like a shield. So it's that preferential treatment. And that's what we need to see. That's what we get in the new life, because God considers us all his favorite. You're God's favorite. You need to see yourself like that. Not in a prideful way, but just in a relationship way. That, you know, the old saying that if you were the only one on earth, Jesus still would have came just for you. He would have died for you. Do you see yourself like that? Do you see that if you're the only one here, do you think Jesus would have died for you? You should say yes, because that's what would have happened. That's how much God loves us. That's how much he was willing to go to what extreme to bring that relationship back in our life. You know, God knows what we've done. Right? We can't hide from him. We can't do things in secret that God doesn't know about. But he still loves us. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Because I've done some things I don't love myself. Right? I don't even love me. But God loves me. And God loves you. So the blessed life, the place of favor. And then it's a place of freedom. You know, we're no longer a slave to anyone or anything other than God. That's the freedom that Jesus Christ came to give us. He wants to see us be able to walk in that freedom where we never, ever, ever again have to bow our knee to something other than him. Well, we bow our knee to him because he's worthy. I have no problem bowing my knee to Jesus. Because he's the one who loved me enough to go to that cross and take the beating that he did, die and rise again. You know, but as far as the things of this world, you know, we never have to bow our knee to that again. Number three, it's a place of acceptance in the new life. You know, we no longer have to feel like an orphan. You know, the orphan spirit, how that all works is where we never maybe feel accepted. We might, you know, have a spirit of rejection. For whatever reason, we feel that maybe somebody in our life has rejected us and maybe turned their back on us, but Jesus never has done that. We don't have to have that orphan spirit. You know, we have that place, you know, where we've been accepted. And like I say, one thing that I've always heard from people from our church is the fact that, you know, our church accepts people. You know, no matter where they come from or what they've done, we're an accepting church. You know, we need that. Now, we also want people to grow, amen? We just don't leave you hanging, you know what I'm saying? You know, we want you to grow because we know that's where freedom's at. That's where you get the power of God starting to work in your life, amen? You know, where you start to walk in that. But, you know, we get that acceptance. You have to have that because it brings acceptance, people, brings security to our life. Because until we feel accepted, we're kind of squirrely, you know what I'm saying? You know, we just don't feel like we fit. Everybody needs to feel like they fit. You know, we need to feel like we fit. Next, it's number four, it's a place of true life. True life is eternal life. You know, eternal life starts for you and I the day we get saved. The day we accept Jesus Christ into our heart. Eternal life starts for us. We're going to live forever somewhere. And our eternal journey has started the day that we accepted Jesus Christ. And then lastly, I know there's other things, but it's a place of victory. Like I mentioned, we never have to bow our knee again to anything other than Christ. I don't know about you, but I like winning. You know what I mean? I like winning. I like to win. And through Christ, we've already won.
right? We've already won. So we just need to, so instead of looking back at that, the old life, and think that, you know, the old saying, history repeats itself, you know, once a loser, always a loser. No. We have the new life. This side of Calvary, where all that stuff is dead, and we have the new life working inside of us. And what we need to do is to see that this here is a separator. See, right here, I'm on that side of Calvary. I have to get up and get on this side of Calvary. The only thing that makes a difference between these two is this, the place where Christ died, the power that's in the cross of Christ, to make a separation between the old and the new, and what he has for us. And it's a picture that we need to hold on to in our mind, where we understand the difference, so we can walk in that level of freedom. And we don't need to make the mistake, you know, where we think we can have the best of both worlds. People try that. You know, you got your Sunday Christians and then Monday through Saturday, not Christian. No, we don't want that life. You know, that's one of the things growing up as a kid I heard my parents, you know, complain about. You know, they didn't complain about a lot, but one thing they did is that. People that go to church on Sunday then live like the devil the rest of the week. I mean, they, you know, they weren't really church people themselves that much, but they did notice phonies when they seen them, right? So we don't want to be that kind of, don't want to be kind of a phony. You know, I've been on a health eating kick, and so I've been eating a lot of fruit. So I know that we don't want to mix the old life with the new life. Have you ever bought some fruit, and then you open it up, and there's a couple rotten ones in there? Ew, nothing worse than rotten fruit. Now, if you choose to put it back in the refrigerator and not deal with that rottenness, guess what happens? It influences the other fruit around it. And for whatever reason, it makes it rotten too. How many know that fruit's kind of expensive? Especially organic, you know what I'm saying? You know, and see, if we're not willing to deal with the rottenness in our life, it's going to have an effect on our goodness in our life. So we need to get rid of that old, you know, just scrape it out. I had some blueberries the other day, and I looked in, and man, a couple, three of them were moldy. I dealt with that. You know what I'm saying? They're gone. No more. Not going to affect my fruit. And see, we need to bear fruit for Christ. So that's why we've got to get rid of that rottenness, you know, in our life. Last passage I want to look at here is in Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Well, I'm hardly speaking today, and I'm. This is my signature scripture. I write this scripture in every one of my Bibles in the front, right by my name. And I write down, I have no past but the cross. And for whatever reason, that revelation's worked for me. I never look past that. Oh, I can go back and drug up some of that stuff for a testimony if I think it'll help somebody else, you know what I mean? But I just don't go back there. It don't bother me. What I used to be has no effect on me today, as far as a negative. You know, I turned that negative into a positive, because what does that look like? That's a plus sign, right? Jesus takes our negative and he'll turn something positive with it, if we let him. Well, Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So here we see the idea of what it means to really get a hold of that revelation of what it means. You know, and it's talking about spiritual order. To me, this is what we call in the business heavy revy. You know what I mean? We need a heavy revy, a revelation. You need something to go off inside of you. It can't just be something with your head. It's really got to be something that just, you know, like, you know, the revelation when Peter got that, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Matthew 16. You know, Jesus said, "Hey, flesh and blood did not, you didn't figure that out on your own, Peter, but my Father in heaven, you know, gave you that revelation." And that's what we want. We want our Father in heaven to give us this revelation about spiritual order. I believe we need to get Galatians 2:20 past our heads and down into our hearts. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And what all that means. We're going to look at a couple of points of what this means in, as we're wrapping this up. First, what we need to see is on the cross is substitution, the word substitution. He took my place. Jesus took what we deserve and then gave us what we don't deserve. That's how that works. He took what we deserve. We deserve to die on the cross due to our sins, due to our separation from God, due to the enmity that's put between us and the Heavenly Father. We deserve to pay for our own sins. But Jesus gave us what we don't deserve. He gave us grace. He gave us freedom. And all we got to do is say, "I can relate to that. That's mine. He's my substitute." Because we can either get what we deserve or have God have what God says we deserve through Christ. It's our choice. So if we continue thinking that we're never going to have the freedom, we never think we're going to be able to receive, you know, what God had, then we're doomed to live in that old thinking. We're going to be free from that. So after substitution, now we need to see identification, which is kind of similar. First, we see Jesus was our substitute. He took my place. Like if you broke the law and you were up at the courthouse and the judge gave you a sentence, 30 days in jail, and this was all legal. I don't know if he'd let me do it, but if I said, "Hey, judge, let them go free, I'll go to jail for them because I love them." Judge says, "You didn't do nothing." I know. But I want to pay their price. That'd be pretty cool. Well, that's what that substitution was. Now, we need to see identification. You know, by faith, I died with him. I was crucified on the cross with him. I identify with that. Because he died for me, I died with him. You know, to me it kind of deals. Does anybody have an ego here? Kind of have an ego? You know, sometimes we have an ego and we say, "God, let go of my ego." Like that old commercial, "Let go of my ego." You know, waffle. God, let go of my ego. I don't want you touching that. I don't want to humble myself. But we have to. We need that identification. Because we need to die to that sin that used to have a hold on us. It's not like walking around like a dead zombie, you know, we're walking like that. No. You know, it's a power principle that when we die to something, it loses its power over us. Now, I got saved. I was delivered from the sin that used to hold me back, right? And what happened was that sin no longer had power over me because I died to it. They still had that sin going on in the world. It's still here today, you know? And what it was is the fact that when I died to it, it lost its power over me. And that's what we have to get to. We need to die to some things. Sin's going to be around. Think about whatever sin that you were in bondage to. Or hopefully maybe not. Maybe you're in bondage to it today. It's still there. It still has power. Because we have those carnal cravings. But if we die to it, we die to it. It has no more power. It's powerless. Just think about it. The things in your life that you've done that you're ashamed of, and if you die to it, it has no more power over you. You don't have to be that person again. And, you know, to me, that comes by identification, that when we died with Jesus, we died to those old sins. Then the idea by faith, You know, I raised with him. Now, see, we don't focus, the Protestant, we focus on an empty cross, right? You know, we don't have Jesus on the cross still. Jesus was on the cross for around 6 hours, paid in full. So we focus kind of on the empty cross. So we don't, you know, we just don't live on the cross, you know. Jesus was on the cross 6 hours, and then he left. Of course, he went to hell and paid the sins. But anyway, Jesus lives in glory now. And that's where we want to do it. So I don't want us to just to focus on the crucified life where we're just thinking about everything we can't do. You know what I mean? Well, I can't do that, I can't do this, and blah, 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 blah. No, I want us to focus on glory. I want us to focus on our position in Christ right now. Because if you see that you're an overcomer, if you see that you're walking in victory, you don't have to think about all that other stuff. It's beneath you. Because we've been raised with him. We've been raised with him. And we have that victorious life. Because if our focus is on dying to self all the time, we'll never be able to live to the life that Jesus came to give us. Next is separation. Separation. He owns me. You know, he owns us and has called us to come out of the world. So he's our Lord and he's our master. So we are called out of and called into something. See, the key to victorious living is not about quitting things, but by submitting our life to his will. When we do that, we start to walk in that separation process. Because what happens is submission takes the pressure off us to perform and puts it on him to guide and direct us. It's about him. It's about what he can do in our life. And we can start to walk in that level of freedom that he came. And so that means we live a separated life. So that means we pull out of some things. You know, it's not that we have to, but hopefully God will give us a hunger inside that we want to. And it just changes. Because I'll be honest, you know, the mistake we as a church makes in lives is that, you know, when somebody's not even a Christian, we'll preach sanctification to them. We'll preach something, you know, we'll preach a 12th grade education to somebody who's not even in kindergarten yet. You know what I'm saying? They got to first get in school before you can take them up deeper. So we need to preach salvation to sinners and sanctification to the saints. And sanctification is talking about the separation stuff. As you grow, you start to walk away from some things. And to be honest, what I've found, it's not because I have to, but the more I get to know Christ, I want to. You know, I'm a married man. Got one of these bad boys. You know what I'm saying? I don't look at it the fact that I don't get to go with other women now. But I don't want to go with other women now. I got one. I got a good one. Why would I want to risk losing this for something else? Correct? So I choose not to put myself in positions of failure. You got to stay away from those. Stay away from those, I don't want to call them opportunities because they're not, but it's an opportunity to fail. Then lastly, impartation. This is what we get. You know, once we're saved, you know, his spirit, it comes to live inside of us. You know, the spirit of God helps us to live for him because we're not alone in this. And what I found is, and you know probably already yourself, is that Jesus, he wants to live through us. He wants to live through you. He wants to live the life of himself through us. And so what happens with this is when we get into that separation, it brings impartation because it increases our ability to hear. The more we come out of this world and into the things of Christ, it gets us into another dimension, another place of power, because we start to hear from God a little bit better, and we start to hear the things of life, and we start to pull away from the things of death. So it just all works together. And so to do that, we need to come to the quiet sometimes to hear from God. mean, you got to make it quiet around you. Stop listening to the clamor and the clutter. So, in closing, I have no past but the cross and no future but the realm of glory. You need to see it that way. We don't look past the cross. We look to the glory. And as we sort through our life, we need to figure out what belongs on this side of Calvary and what belongs on that side of Calvary. Amen? And to make a difference between those two. All right, let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Father, we come to you today. Lord, we know that there comes a time when we just humble ourselves and surrender our life to you. We know that the shiny things of this world may look pretty and some of them may feel good, but Lord, we know that they bring death. And Lord, we want to pass from that death into life. And to do that, we need to surrender. That's what this song is in the background playing. It's called I Surrender. And surrender is not a way of defeat, but it's a way of victory. And that's how we got to look at it. We're not surrendering to our enemies, we're surrendering to God. And I want to give opportunity today, everybody listening here today to my voice, that if you've never surrendered, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, and you say, hey, Pastor, that's me, I want to surrender today. I want to surrender my life to you. I want you to slip up your hand. Or if you have surrendered before and you know you've kind of went your own way a little bit and you know you need to come back, slip up your hand. We want to pray with you today. We're the first-time decision. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Would you stand to your feet right now? Amen. You can have your dignity or deliverance in life. So if you'd like to make it right with God, I'm just asking you to stand at your feet, and we'd like to pray with you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, every head bow, eye closed. Is Holy Spirit just moving right now? Just moving right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day of freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Just stand up where you're sitting. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, continue touching. Hallelujah. Kushara makiriya tara satariya tondere basito konde. Kushaka anderede. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, just fall. Fall upon this place. Fall upon this place. Amen. Amen. Fall upon this place. Amen. Resist not the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you for each and every person crying out to you today. Just pray with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving me and setting me free. Never the same and no more shame. Thank you for your blood that washes me and makes me clean. I surrender my life to you. May you give your life to me. In Jesus' name, amen.